Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit. What's good, Fatherhood? It's your boy, James Lopez, representing for the dope dads of the Fatherhood is Lit community. I love getting paid to be myself, and today I have someone that has gotten paid to be himself by some huge companies like Revolt, Forbes, and many more. Not as an influencer either, but as a real asset to the companies he's worked with. The internet knows him as All Things Mitch, but me, I know him as Julian Mitchell. What's good, Julian?
What's going on, James? Pleasure to be on the podcast.
Oh, man. Before we even get into this, bro, I want to publicly give you your flowers, bro. From our conference where you killed it, to Revolt, to now starting your own company, IG Labs Inc. Come on, bro. I mean, IQ Labs Inc. Come on, bro. You're kidding me right now. Like, you're killing it. You're getting paid to be yourself. How good does that feel, bro?
It feels great. It feels like every step makes sense. It feels very aligned, very purpose-driven. Feels like every step I've taken, every experience, everything has prepared me to be in the space that I'm in now. More importantly, I feel like I had a vision a while ago, like maybe a decade ago or so, for what it's become now and what it will continue to become. And, you know, I've seen that through and seen it come to life. So many full circle moments, so many dreams come true, so many things that, you know, I've always wanted to push myself and prove that I can do, I've done and continue to do. So it's like, it's in one part, it's exciting. And it's inspiring even to myself when I think about it. And, you know, it's fulfilling. It's something that I feel like, you know, when you're building for the next 10 years, 5, 10 years, 20 years, or just doing something that you want to last long term, you know, the hardest part is getting started. And then the second hardest part is staying true to that, you know. So I feel like I've got the first two out the way. And now it's just about continuing to grow and evolve. And it feels really good. Like I told myself, yo, this is what, when I'm 30, I want to own a company. And I founded the company, you know, when I was 30. Before that, it was like, yo, I want to, you know, I want to write. I want to teach. I want to build brands. And I was able to do that. And it was like, these are the people I want to work with. And I was able to do that. And it was like, so many things that literally were just kind of pins on a board in my mind.
You had a vision that a lot of these things, like not a vision that they were going to happen, but these were the things that you wanted to chase.
Both.
Okay.
I would see things. I always call it the formula. I tell people, like, you got to pay attention to the formula of your life, or like the cycles of your life. For me, it would be, I would get a vision of something that I felt like I should be doing. And usually that vision was a few steps beyond where I was in that moment, or like a step above, or just in a different space that I would have to grow and push myself and like confidently step into that level. So I would see it. And then I would go through the natural process of kind of being slightly skeptical, or am I tripping? Am I just in my head? How's it going to happen? That kind of thing. And then that would turn into fuel and be like, okay, no, like I see it clearly. Cause I feel like when you can see something clearly, that has already qualified it as real. Mm-hmm. Like clarity is confirmation a lot of times.
In
this context, so like once I could see it all clearly and see myself in it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's attainable, like that's real. So then once that happens, like I think my internal navigation starts the route to that place. And then all the work and everything is guided and shifted and kind of filtered through that vision. So the next thing you know, everything you're accomplishing on a professional level, the ways you're evolving on a personal level, the things you're seeing, everything shaping and molding to prepare you to step into that vision that you saw previous. And then you look up and you're like, damn, this is everything that I saw. Like, back when I thought about this. And then when that moment happens, the cycle starts over. Then I get a new vision of something that's a few steps above or a few steps ahead. And it's like, all right, now here's your mission. It's kind of like one of those cartoons. And it's like, okay, you've accomplished this. So you come back and each episode starts with you, you know, talking to somebody, and they're like, here's your next mission if you choose to accept it. You're like, all right, cool.
Yeah, but
and then you just keep it going.
I think even with that, like, you have to have like a certain mind state for that, right? If I told my son, yo, you know what, like, if you believe in yourself, you know, anything that you put in front of you, you could actually accomplish. But it sounds like cliche, right? So what got you to think like that? Was it your parents, or was it like your life experiences?
I think first it was life experiences. It was reaching the ultimate rock bottom at a very early age. I think when you experience your lowest points at a very early age, obviously it grows you up faster. You have to develop a mental toughness, almost like the ability to compartmentalize things, because you can't live too much in like your circumstances. You can't be defined by things like that, whatever those circumstances are. I think one, it was doing that early, because that made me realize that yes, there's a better life. There's anything you want to achieve, anything you see, everything that you are seeing, that you're inspired by, that just represents this reality that is very much you, but just not within reach. Mm-hmm. Like, all of that is real, but you have to go create it. Like, you have to go make it happen. Like, you know what I'm saying? You just have to get to it. And that became a mentality very early on, you know, from just lived experience. Then I think as that started, then it became, you know, you start to prove it to yourself. You start to go down paths that, you know, it's you trusting yourself, and it's you kind of taking a leap and just going for it. And then you see the outcome. Then you learn, you know, things like how fear is basically just giving yourself too much time to think, right? Like, it's talking yourself out of things, being too much in your head. It's worrying about the probability of an outcome that could be just as positive as it is negative, you know? And if you lean towards the positive,
but for you, yeah, when you're chasing these outcomes, right? Like, how do you as an adult block out the fear, right? And then how can we translate that for a child? Because fear is crazy, bro. It will stop you from doing some of your greatest work ever. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even when I tell my son, when he deals with that, I tell him it's okay to have fear. We all have fear. Like, being fearless is not real. We all have fear. It's being fearless is knowing your fear, but still being courageous enough to push through it anyway, or to face that fear and prove to yourself that you are bigger than that fear. Mm-hmm. And once you conquer fear, I also tell them too, you only have to conquer fear one time. It's like when he went to Magic Mountain, he's like scared of the roller coasters, right? He's turning 8. Mm-hmm. He's like scared of the rides. And it's like, you're scared of them because you're just staring at them. And your mind is creating this story because your life is a reflection of the stories that you tell yourself. That's another thing I talked to my son about. Is like, you know, you have to change your own narrative and create the narrative that you want for yourself. Like, he'll stare at it and make up this whole story and imagine himself on it, and he's terrified and he doesn't want to go on it. But once he rides it, now you don't want to stop jumping on the roller coaster. Like, he'll get on the ride and then he'll get off and be like, oh, I was so scared, I was crying, but it was so fun. And it's like, that's fear.
Now he's open.
No, but I'm saying, it's like, that's it. The fear is like, you created a story.
Yeah.
That blocked about you out. Yourself and about a situation that scared yourself. Like, you scared yourself. And once you decide that that isn't reality, like you made that up, and you're willing to go create the reality, like, and the truth of that, all you have to do is conquer fear once. Mm-hmm. Now, conquer once, that narrative, that story changes.
Yeah, you know once you conquer it once. I've had my son with that. I think the same thing. Like, my son didn't want to do a roller coaster until we went to wasn't Magic Mountain. Where did we go? I think we went to Universal Studios, and he jumped on a roller coaster with my wife. And after that, it was over. Like, he did someone that has like a loop or something like that. And it was a wrap. Now he's on all roller coasters. Like, he gets on the roller coasters without me. Mm-hmm. And it felt good watching him do that. Like, it was incredible. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So I think we have to be symbols of courage to our kids. So, like, they need to see us. We need to talk with them about the fears we deal with. Like, I talk to my son about stuff like that. Like, when he's in moments of, you know, being nervous or being shy or being just scared or whatever it is, you know, talking him through those moments of, you know, when I've been in those spaces and how natural it is. You know, I think we don't normalize fear. Mm-hmm. We don't normalize a lot of emotions for our kids that are negative. Even emotions in general, this is something you and I have talked about before, but I think, you know, emotions, especially for kids, just feelings in general, are their reactions to what's happening in their life.
Yeah.
And a lot of it they can't necessarily make sense of. And that dictates how they move, like what they think they can do, what they think they can be, who they think they can be, how they see themselves, the confidence they have, all of that. So I think a lot of it too is just making it okay for our kids, especially us who have young men, okay to, like, really be in their emotions and feel and express what they're feeling and what they're thinking and all of that.
So you think the emotional, like, the emotional part of life, like how you cope with the different emotions, do you think that leads you to fully believing that you could get paid to be yourself? Like, is that where it begins? Like, is that the mental state?
Yeah, get paid to be yourself doesn't start with getting paid. It doesn't start with business. It starts with self. Mm-hmm. So it's all about how you see yourself, how you feel about yourself.
Yeah, getting your mind right completely.
Yeah, all of that. And emotion is a huge part of that. Like, as much as people say you can't have emotions in business, you wouldn't be in business without some kind of emotion. Like, whether it's, you know, what you're passionate about doing, whether it's what you're passionate about doing, whether you're just passionate about getting paid, like, whatever those things are, there's going to be some kind of connection to that. But on a personal level, how you handle your emotions, how you understand your emotions, how you become self-aware, how you know what triggers you, what, you know, what means what in your life, mentally, emotionally, to develop that kind of strength is everything. It's everything. Like, you need that when you want to quit. You need that when you could do so many other things. You need that when everybody's telling you you could be doing all these things. You know what I'm saying? But you're like, no, I have a vision to do this. Or, you know, just all of those different things. People telling you, yo, you can only do this one thing, or you have to do this or that. It's like, to silence the noise, that takes a lot of mental toughness, like a lot of focus. Yeah. And all of those things come from having a grasp on your emotions and ultimately having control of your mind. It's a real thing. Like,
no, definitely.
So getting back to the point, I think those are things where, in my opinion, first, I think you want to empathize with your kids in terms of course, you have to understand, you could give them all the motivational talks in the world. They haven't been on the earth that long.
Yeah, so, they don't have the experience yet.
Yeah, they don't have the experience, and they also don't see a lot. Even if you're a dad doing everything, like right now, all the stuff that I'm doing, and my son has, his mom does dope work, and she travels, and she does stuff. He has, like, you know, all this crazy stuff that I'd never had as a kid, like currency from other countries, a rock from the Great Wall. We've done so much wild stuff, but it's like, he's not going to really understand all of that until later.
Yeah, that's where you come into play also, where it's like, now, you know, the rock from the Great Wall of China, you actually tell him, yo, this is why it matters, even though you might not get it right now.
Yeah, no. And I agree with that. What I'm saying is, as they're this young, like as they're
they don't get the value in it.
I think the important part of laying the foundation for them, mm-hmm, to go after what they want and be what they want, I think it's first empathizing with that point of, yes, I know for me as a dad, like I go through these spurts where, like, I talk to my child like he's one of my friends or something, where it's like, we have real honest young man conversations.
Hold up. This is something I wanted to talk to you about right here, man. Because I know you do your town halls with your son to build those affirmations, right? This is the crazy part, because
he's like, this is good.
sometimes they look at it like, yo, this is good. Sometimes they look at you like, yo, like, this is too much. what's too much for what age, in your opinion? If there's even a bar.
I think too much comes down to volume and time, not substance. Like, it's like attention span. You know what I'm saying? Like, which me again, like sometimes I can't help it, because I go in these spurts where I want to get the whole lesson out. Like the whole thing. I want
to,
like,
you're trying to serve him everything, even though he doesn't really get it.
Like, sometimes he'll check out. And I'm like, he stays there because he loves me and I'm his dad and all of that. He'll give me the little look, but, you know, he want to get back to doing what he's doing. So I think there are some topics that you reserve for, like, post 10. You know, like 10, 13, post 13.
Like the sex talk?
Under 10.
You keep the sex talk till after 12? Yeah,
although I do think, and I'll just say it for what it is, I do think you should talk about private parts.
Yeah.
You should be very open about, you know, being naked and a lot of sexual things, even like how kids feel sexually. Mm. I think you need to talk about that early. And find ways, because every child is different and how parents communicate is different. But however you do that, you should find a natural way to start to have those conversations. Because my son talks about it now, and it's crazy because, you know, you would have thought, we all see in the world today how quicker kids are evolving sexually and all of that. And in terms of identity, that stuff we didn't see. I didn't see it when I was growing up. Like, it was still shunned upon to be gay when we were growing up. Mm-hmm. Like, that wasn't a thing. So now it's like, you gotta, again, prepare your child for what they're going to experience in the world, but also just get them to learn themselves. It's super important. So you want to have those conversations. And so they know how to identify the different things they're seeing and what's happening, what people are saying to them that relate to identity, sexuality, their race, everything. Like, you want them to be able to start to, you know, pick up on those cues. You can teach them, even though there's going to be stuff you can't, you know what I'm saying? They're just going to experience, but you want to try to prepare them as much as possible. So to your point, I think too much would be overloading them with very traumatic or extremely intense information, right? Like, if you start telling them how the whole world's against them because they're black and, you know, you can't go out the house like this, you can't go out the house like this at 7 years old, that can traumatize your kid more than it informs them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think you want to be careful of stuff like that, but everything else, I feel like
it's fair game.
You can talk about it, especially when it comes again to like emotions, how they feel, how they think, what they gravitate towards, what they're passionate about, like, how they feel about you, like asking your kids, how do you feel about this? Or how we do this? Or when we talk about this, like, just creating that space to be empathetic to their situation and what they're thinking about, I think it's important.
Yeah, no, it matters. You know, going back to what you were saying about being yourself and, you know, getting paid to be yourself. You know, let's take it a step further and take it to Instagram. You know, the platform of choice, and Snapchat, platform of choice for these teens. A lot of kids are like chasing these influencer marketing deals, or they think that that's what the world evolves around. You know, like, they have to get that fashion over ad, right? But as you could tell, a lot of these kids, they look the same. Like, they you know, they put the same filters, the same makeups, they're getting the same procedures done, like, just to look the same. How do we make sure that our kids don't look at what's popular online and apply it to their own, like, popularity or their own come up with? Now they feel like they have to change themselves in order to get paid.
See, the tricky part about that is, so again, so much of social media when it comes to seeking validation and wanting the attention and likes and kind of all that kind of stuff, especially for younger people, that's all feeding into, you know, the self-perception, self-worth, self-confidence, self-awareness, like wanting to feel liked, wanting to feel all those kind of things. And part of that is exactly what we're talking about now. If you can have conversations with your child and teach them early and show them through your own experiences and your own, like, leading by example, if you can show them the power in being exactly who they are, and like how special that is, and how powerful that is, and how important that is, and valuable it is, and all of that to them, to the world. Like, my son has a big heart. He loves people. He likes to hug people. He likes to ask people how their day is going. He likes to bring his teacher little, like, gifts and say hi. All this kind of stuff is very sweet, very thoughtful. And a lot of kids aren't like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when he comes into a place, there's kids that are like, like, they don't want to be hugged. There's people who don't want to talk. There's people who, and instead of his reaction being, oh, this must not be good because people are responding to it this way, it's like, no, that's who you are, right? Like, you have all this love in your heart. You have this kindness in your heart. And that's something that people are going to need later in life, and they're going to want, and you're going to be in spaces where that's celebrated, and you're celebrated for that. So never lose that. You just have to understand that the whole world isn't like that. Mm-hmm. But as they get older and you grow up, and it's like you do that, you have those conversations and do that work early so that they aren't the kids that feel like they gotta chase the internet and they gotta chase like creating this image of who they think people like and what they think people want to celebrate. And like, you want them to feel like, this is me. These are just platforms I'm going to use the way I want to. That's how I am. Right. Yeah. Like,
and that's why
people talk
that's why I think,
what's on the internet.
But that's why it's a good example. That's why it's a good example, because I think for us, it's hard to teach our kids how to get paid at such a young age because of the maturity level. Right. But I think that it's a perfect example, because you're doing the things that we need to eventually teach them to get paid, where it's like, get your mind right. Right. How to push forward and persevere. But now what you're talking about is how to cope with being different.
Yeah.
And that's something that you don't learn in school. You don't learn that in school. You don't learn how to cope.
You don't.
You know what I mean?
Nah, we talk about that a lot. So I think that's part. And then the other reason that's important, and the second part of it, is that, like, a lot of it we aren't going to be able to control. You don't know how your kid is ultimately going to be and the type of person they ultimately become, the type of teenager and all of that. So you want to just do as much work as you can early on, because the world, the internet, social media, it's always going to have an influence on them. It's always going to impact them, you know, in a way. And you just have to hope that they're strong enough. And again, you also have to empathize and give them grace and say, like, yo, I know, like, you know, you're going to be young and you're going to try these things. You're going to be online. You're going to do this stuff. And, you know, you might go with the trends or do different things. And like, I can't judge you for that. I can't fault you for that. I get it. But then it's still, you know, the teaching never stops. The learning never stops. You just want them to continue to be, you know, confident and comfortable. Because everybody will be like, well, that's what Instagram is for. It's like, no, Instagram is for whatever you make it for.
Yeah.
Nobody's telling you what to post. Nobody's telling you what to like. Nobody's telling you what to do. You know, well, everybody on Instagram does this. It's like, if you're not doing it, then everybody on Instagram isn't doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just getting out of the groupthink trend mentality and just getting your kids to be confident in who they are and knowing that there's an audience for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, that's another thing I tell my son now. He loves making games and he has his channel with his little tripods. He's already talking about getting paid too. He's like, how much money do YouTubers make? And because he watches the Ryan TV and all these people. And he got it all figured out. He got it mapped out. He's writing it down. He's not playing.
It's the example, though. If he sees his dad hustling, he sees his mom hustling. Now he's watching people hustle on YouTube. Come on, bro. Like, the mind is right.
Questions.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he asks questions. We sit down and go through with him. Like, he had ideas. I was like, okay, we got to get your notepad. You got to map your ideas out. Like, okay, yeah, here's the name, but how does it work? What are you going to talk about? You got to do all this before you get there. You know what I'm saying? So he has the wherewithal, and he's really good with that. But yeah, man, it's like, you want them to be their own person and know that there's an audience for them being just who they are. And that audience is the audience you need to focus on. Don't focus on who's not for you. Focus on the people who are, and just give love to everybody the same.
Yeah, especially to the people that you, especially to the people that you're serving. I mean, it seems like a big thing for you to get paid, or even for your kids to get paid for being themselves. It starts with like the mindset of knowing that you're valuable, right? But we've all run into people that think they're way valuable than what they really are, right?
Yeah, way more valuable.
So how do we teach our kids to come in knowing that, yo, you know, I'm the shit, I'm cool, but I'm just not the shit for that person. right? Where I don't want to turn them off either. Like, I'm not trying to start beef or push them away from me. But it's okay that I'm not the person that they're seeking.
Because I don't think you should lie to your kids. Uh-huh. Right? There's one thing. Like, you wouldn't give somebody compliments that they don't deserve. Mm-hmm. Like you're not going to be like...
Well, some people would.
Hey. Yeah, some people. I'm saying you as a parent that you should. I don't think you should do that.
Yep.
I think you should treat it like anything else. When you see something in your child, you should point it out. You should acknowledge it. You should compliment it. You should tell your kids you're proud of them. When you're proud of them, when they do things, you should tell them. Like, you know, when you see something that's powerful in them, when you see something that's, like, beautiful in them, when you see all of that, when you notice the way that they talk, the way that they walk, how they dress, whatever it is, like, you should always be paying attention. You should always be thoughtful, and you should always acknowledge your kids. Because those are the things consistently that help them build their confidence and help them realize like who they are. But then at the same token, you need to be honest with your kids, right? Like, if this isn't for you, like if you don't like that, you don't need to do that. If this, you know, doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. If, you know, you need to improve in these areas, this is the areas you need to improve. Like, we have to also be very honest with our kids the same way you'd want to be honest with your best friend or honest with anybody. And it helps humble them out and balance them out and know that they always can get better. People who have an attitude that they can always evolve and get better and it's always about growth aren't the people that are, you know, running around acting like they weigh holier than they are. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There's no humility in arrogance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think you got to balance it out. You got to be very honest, but you also have to be very, very supportive and attentive, thoughtful with your children so that they feel like you find them valuable in the ways that you want the world to see them as valuable.
Yeah, and I think you hit it perfectly, and I think it goes back to you leading by example, right? Where it's like my son sees TikTok now, and he asked me the other day, he goes, "Dad, like, you know, you could really kill TikTok and become like a viral hit." And I looked at him and I go, "Jaden, man, like that's not me. Like TikTok is not me. I'm not the dancing dad. I'm not the scripted dad. You know, I jump on platforms where I could just be me and talk my shit. You know what I mean? Like be realistic." And it took a while for him to get that, where it was like, no, but this is an opportunity. And it's like, yo, you're right. It's an opportunity, but it's not the right opportunity for me because I'm not going to conform and change who I am for that platform. And
right.
he still might not get it, but we're going to continue doing that until maybe one day it will hit. Like maybe he'll be presented with a situation where he says, well, this isn't really me. What did dad do back then? Now I get it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it goes right back to it. So I think our kids sometimes also help us get our mind right. You know, how has your son changed the way that you think about your business and getting yourself paid?
Yeah, I mean, on a business level, it does the obvious where, or what I would say is obvious, is it makes me think long-term in a very real generational calculated kind of way. Like, okay, you know, this is about ownership, the way people want to own property and all of that. Like when it comes to assets, like I need to be creating assets. I need to be owning assets. I need to be setting it up to where, you know, he'll always have money. He'll always have a job. He'll always have access to these different things. Like I think that makes you smarten up in a way where you just realize how real and tangible doing that is. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, I need to have a company. I need to own these things. I need to acquire other assets to do this. mm-hmm. he definitely keeps that in perspective. I think it also, again, exactly what we're talking about, something I think about all the time is I also want to be proud to answer his rebuttal, like when I'm saying, yo, it's about ownership, it's about this, and he's going to be like, well, what did you do? And I want to say, this is, like, I own these businesses, I built these businesses, like, this is the movement that I created. You can do anything, right? Like what we say, you can do anything. If you go this hard, if you stay focused, you do this, you're like, well, what did you do? What do you have to show for it? You show them, oh, you know, just like every principle that I want to teach him on how to move, what to do, everything, relationships, right? Like I could teach him the importance of relationships and I could show him in my life the real life example of that. He'll see that. So I've always wanted to create a life and a career that would be a proud response to anything he would ask me in return, mm-hmm. like what I'm teaching him. And I've always, always, always kept that top of mind. Like, you know, if I told him I wanted him to do this or be this, or if I'm telling him something, could he reflect the mirror back at me? And I feel like I live that, or I could be proud of that response. Yeah. So I think it's changed in that way. It's made me way more bold and just courageous and assertive, I guess, as in if I want it, I'm going to go get it.
So it keeps you like focused.
Ask for it.
It's almost like it keeps you like super focused.
Super focused, like super duper focused. So he definitely does that. And then I think something on a personal level that carries into my business all the time is, again, like, he keeps me always checking myself and always striving to improve, right? Like, I find myself having moments with him where, you know, like, he won't want to talk about something, and obviously as his dad and somebody who cares and loves him, I'm like, what do you mean you don't want to talk about this? Like, that's what it's supposed to do. You're supposed to want to talk about this. But then you get to points where you realize, you know, he's his own person. So then I have to go back and think and learn and grow in that moment and come back and say, you know what? Yes, I'm your father. I love you and I support you. And this is why, you know, I want to communicate about this right now. But I also understand you're your own person. You have your own emotions. Like, you're going through your process and, you know, I'm here for us to talk about whatever you want to talk about. But you have to, like, have these teachable moments to yourself where you can grow and learn with your own child and come back, you know what I'm saying? And like show them and make it a teachable thing. And then that applies in your life. You know what I'm saying? Like when you step out of there, it's like accountability.
Yeah. The kids will keep you accountable.
Responsibility. Yeah. So like those are things that my son has made extra, extra clear and apparent that help and apply in my work life. You know what I'm saying? Like being accountable, paying attention to detail, being, you know, very thoughtful of other people and empathetic of other people and always willing to have that conversation with anybody, even if it's a tough conversation. Like my son helps amplify all of those things. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I mean, you know, it's leading by example, right? So I want to go back to my final question, actually. I want to go back to you, to the way that you were fathering compared to now and running the business, right? In the sense of you were a bi-coastal father, right? Like you did it for like 3 years of bouncing between L.A. and New York. And last time we spoke, your family was coming to live with you in L.A., right? Like, how did that change your grind, like actually having them there physically as opposed to you having to like FaceTime them or jump on a flight to go see them? Like, has it increased grind or has it decreased it?
Yeah, well, I mean, let me be clear in this respect. We co-parent, so my son's mom and I co-parent, so we don't live in the same household.
Yeah. So, which I'm in the same city now, right?
Back and forth. Yeah, we're all in the same city. Like, we moved together. Like, everybody moved at the same time for the same purpose, mm-hmm. it all happened together, something we planned.
Yeah.
But I just didn't want that to come out confusing where it's like everybody lives with me in one place. It's like, no. Because there's other family members involved too, like his grandmother, her mom, all like a lot of people moved to LA. For that reason, he's getting older and starting businesses, and running those businesses, all of that. So it was a conscious move. I think it elevated my grind even more because with him being here, I made a conscious effort. I haven't traveled. I was also traveling all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't traveled in about a year now.
Like, what?
Outside of going to New York, I haven't traveled.
That's insane. Because I used to see you everywhere.
I was everywhere. That's what I'm saying. Like it was like, okay, I'm sitting down. Like my focus is staying low, really building this business, being a father. Like in terms of now, he's here all the time, so I want to be around him as much as possible. And school and basketball and everything. I was like, yes. Because, you know, you're active and you're doing that. It's just not the same when you're sitting down and you're just doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was big for me. Mm-hmm. So it's turned my grind up, which is funny because it's turned it way up, even though my son and everybody's here. So I'm spending way, 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 way more family time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, in family time was in like with everybody, so
it increased it.
That's the crazy part.
Yeah, because like, I could see how somebody could say when they weren't here, I was grinding my ass off because I wanted to be there with them, and then now that they're finally here, I could, you know, let my foot off the gas a little bit. And instead, what you're saying is, nah, since he was here, now I really get to put my foot down because now I can focus.
It's turned up because his mom and I had a plan and conversations when first moving to the East Coast. So it was like, okay, but we're going to go hard. This is what I'm building. This is what you're building. This is what we're trying to create together for our child, X, Y, and Z. Like, we mapped that out and said, okay, we have this window to go hard because he was like four, you know, turning four. It was like, okay, here's how we set it up. Goes to a great school, does all of this, like, we're good. And we worked that plan, and that plan worked out. And then it eventually got to that point where, you know, she started her company, I had my company. The time came, okay, we wanted him to be seven, going on eight, like going to second grade. This is where we're going to make this move. So in our mind, the move was, okay, now we're both transitioning into entrepreneur hustle mode, and we're gonna plant it and, you know what I'm saying, settle in this place. So that's what it is. It's family and it's the grind, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, and that's what that's stuck
to. Yeah, we stuck to that. And yeah, I've been able to do a lot more work, but I think the work also changes, right? Like, a lot of my time now and a lot of the hustle now is like at a higher level, like across the board. It's operating as an owner, right? Like, as somebody who's working with other owners and doing things and building things at a different level. So it's not as much in the weeds. Like, for example, when I was writing, I would have to spend hours. I would be writing stories all the time. And hours, you know, interviewing and researching and doing all of that. So the type of work is different, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that also allows it to, yeah, allows you to do more with the same amount or less time. But yeah, so I think it's turned it up. It's definitely motivated me more. It's keeps me even more focused. It's amazing. You know, like being in the same place all the time. And like you said, it's not FaceTime. It's like real life I mean, of course, you still FaceTime when you're at work. And my son loves the voice note now, so we send voice notes back and forth, which I think is crazy. I couldn't imagine myself sending voice notes to 7 years old.
Dude, we could have a whole conversation about how tech changed the game.
Oh,
when it comes to parenting,
man. iPad, his old iCloud, he got the computer, he got the Nintendo Switch. I'm sure your kids got that technology.
Come on, man. Come on, and you know, so, and you know they can't share either. You know,
nah,
you know, but that's the beauty of tech, bro. Like, you know, like I met you through technology, with Tech 808, you know, with the panel and having you talk at our events and stuff like that. Now we're using technology for fathering, where it's like, yo, there's no more excuses, bro. Like, there's no more excuses. You might not be able to live with your child due to whatever circumstances are happening, but there's no reason for you not to be able to communicate with them now.
Nah, and honestly, kids, that consistency means everything. Like, it means everything. Like, if you called your child every day, right? Like, the fact that they know you're calling every day and they can see you every day and talk to you every day, they appreciate that. So there is no excuse in that regard. Like,
yeah.
You should be able to at least communicate, like you said, with your child on a consistent basis. And if that's all you can do, make the most of that. You know what I'm saying? Make the most of that. Make it something where you telling them you love them and supporting them and maybe dropping gems on them, whatever it is when you do get that chance to speak. But that goes a long way with your kids. That's what they remember when they get older.
Yeah, that's also how they get paid, man. That's how they also get paid, because the less issues we present to our kids, the better it is. So if we're not part of that problem, that overall problem of communicating or having communications with our kids, then that's one less problem that they have to focus on. Now they can focus on all the other things, the other growth factors.
You know, what's funny? The last thing I'll say to that, I think the benefit for me in the path that I've taken to the point of getting paid to be yourself and passing that to your children is that the way that my mind works and the way that I think is once you identify the value and the skill that you have or the passion that you have attached to that value, where you could see like where it fits in the space, my mind naturally can go through a process of saying, okay, this is a real opportunity to do something, to build something, to get paid for it. With my son, like, that's something that we go through, that exercise. And I think parents should, when it comes to getting their kids learning how to build things and get paid for it and do things and get paid for it, create things and get paid for it, is when you see them taking a liking to something, like my son loves design. He loves design. He loves designing on Minecraft, houses, castles, worlds.
Mm-hmm. They love
Fortnite. He loves designing. And he loves gaming. So even when we talked about, he loves watching videos about video games. He loves all of that. So it's like taking him through the process of, okay, if you love design, here's what design is. Like, we talked about design, like, oh, you know, there's architects, floor plans, blueprints, and all this kind of stuff. And okay, he got the manuals from Minecraft. He can like master. It's like, okay, here's the process. You want to like master this skill, master this passion that you have. And you take him through the process of, oh, this is actually like people do this. This is a career. You know, like people do this for a living. Here's books. You love design. You love architecture. Here's books on design and architecture. People build houses. They design buildings. They design cities. Like, you could design a whole city. You know what I'm saying? And like getting them in the process of seeing how that one passion and skill they have is so much bigger than a hobby early on. Like, it's so much bigger than just what you are drawing a liking to. And you keep the child, you keep the youthful spirit of it, right? Like, they love to do it. So you want it to be fun. You want it to always be cool. But you want to, like, show them where it can go. And I feel like a lot of times we don't, I see and we've seen, I'm sure, like, a lot of parents with their kids, that's not the natural thought process because that's not how they are. So when they see their kids doing stuff, they just think, oh, yeah, you know, Johnny loves playing with his Legos, so we just let him play with Legos.
It, instead of nurturing it.
His whole life, he's learning how to be a doctor. You're like, why? You know what I'm saying? Like, he wanted to build things and design things, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. So I think taking your child through the process of learning how to legitimize their hobbies and their ideas and what they could turn into and how big they become, you know, like the process of getting him his little cameras and creating his YouTube channel, letting him pick his YouTube name, letting him do this. And once all that came together and got formalized for him, it was like, wow, I really am a YouTuber. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, no, wow, it's really true. Dude, it's true,
like,
though.
Yeah, it was that easy, though.
But it's true. What you're saying is so true, because my son has his YouTube account. He's not doing it for the millions of likes. Like, he just covers things that we get to do together, like as a family, like some of the events and things like that. And he takes pride in it. And it goes back to leading by example, right? Where now the kid has a dream. You're not the dream killer. You're the dream enabler. And if you can't enable that dream, then you help them modify it to show them the other side of the dream, right? Where it's like, yo, you want to rap. You want to become a rapper. Well, that might not happen, but you could be a songwriter. You could be somebody in the studio actually producing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like now you're not just killing the dream. You're trying to encourage it, and you're trying to find other ways to sneak in there too. You know what I mean? And it's like leading by example. That's how I think that's how you get paid, bro. I think we've all had dreams where we look back now and be like, damn, like, I can't believe I thought I could do that, but I'm glad I tried it because it brought me here. Now I'm doing something else.
Yeah. And to your point earlier, is like, when you see that again, fueling you as a parent, you want to be able to, as your child is growing in their passions, you want to be able to support them in any way you can. So that makes it, that pushes you to go even harder, right? Like, because when he's older, if he wants to write, because my son does that too. He has a drum and he has a little keyboard and he has a guitar and he likes to kind of freestyle and riff and do melodies and he loves music. So I would start making him write his lyrics down like he was songwriting. Uh-huh. So you start writing them down with his little melodies and like play the songs back. But as he's getting older, you want them to be able to, you know, take a musical class or get in a studio or do all these kind of things or start these different things. And I just always want to be able to, and I know his mom's the same way, like, we always want to be able to make sure that he can continue those passions, right? And not feel like, dang, you know, there's no way, or I can't see it. Or to your point of being a dream killer, I always wanted to feel like whatever those big dreams, that imagination, that creativity is, we're in the positions to support that in any way that we can. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I think that has to start early on too. You have to take that approach early.
I agree 1,000%, man. And once again, I think everything that you said is what leads to anybody, not just a child, but an adult getting paid too. Whereas the belief in self, you know, belief in others, right? Empathy for others, and then that determination to fulfill your dreams. What do you have next, bro? Is it just IQ Labs? Is that now that's your main hustle right now, bro?
Well, IQ Labs is an umbrella. Mm-hmm. To a series of other things. So,
because I know you're on the grind, bro. Like, you've done a lot.
Oh man, it's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of building, man. The past year, probably like the past 8 months, has been like a ton of like stand low and building. And now going into like the summertime, a lot of these things will now be out in the open. Mm-hmm. But it's something I've just been staying low. Me and Brandon, my partner, have been staying low, like working on a lot of stuff. So IQ Labs is a company that's three tiered. So it's media, it's marketing, it's education. So IQ Labs Inc. itself is essentially like a parent company.
okay.
that has subsidiary companies underneath it. And so right now we have our own media brand, as in like IQ Media is a vertical. Then there's a music company within that. Then there's, so we have the media, we have music, we have the educational product and a platform. And then a series of partnerships as well, that are a part of that, that fit in that line of, you know, creating new spaces that are all about doing smarter business, making people smarter, like moving things forward. So there's an event series that we partnered to do that I'm really excited about. And so, yeah, so it's media, it's music, it's education, it's live experiences, all under the IQ umbrella. And there's different companies we have under that umbrella. So
that's dope.
Super excited, man.
I know. I've seen you for the past 8 years do some incredible things and do so many things, man. And it's like, I can't wait to see where you take this. Like I always, you know, I always used to see you writing for people. I used to see you creating media outlets, like, you know, helping Revolt and things like that, like getting them off the ground.
And I've story.
Yeah. All that. And I've always told myself, yo, when the hell is Julian going to do his own, like have his own company? Like to me, it was like, you were already getting paid to be yourself, right? But you were getting paid to represent for other brands. And to me, it was always like, nah, this dude got to represent for his own company, his own brand, because you have that voice and you have the talent. So I'm proud of you, bro. From Tech 808 to flying around the world to now this, bro. Like, this is incredible, man. It's an honor to be here on here with you, bro.
But nah, I appreciate that. I feel like, again, to that point of getting to this point, I've always saw working and building my own and doing that. But at the same time, it was staying true to the vision, like working in these different industries, like being in media this long, being in marketing this long, being in education this long, like all of that was eventually, all of that is going to ladder into one vision that encompasses those three areas. You know what I'm saying? That's just shaped by, you know, the vision that I see for the future, the problem I feel like only I could solve, the value I feel like only this could add, you know, to the culture, to the industries. Like, that's always been the plan. You know what I'm saying? And now that's where it's at. Like, okay, now we're at a place where it, you know, it's working with, still collaborating with and partnering with big companies and other places, but I play for the team that I own type thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In every scenario. So yeah, it feels amazing.
And that's, and how,
I still feel,
that's
I'm,
how you
I'm
get
33. I feel young. Like, let's keep it going.
And that's how you get paid to be yourself, man. Ownership.
Right.
Ownership. And exactly. And that's not to confuse everybody. Like, entrepreneurship is a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a hard thing. And when I say ownership, I don't just mean by company. I mean by owning the vision that you're displaying with your partners, even. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that,
that
that's
was my
word
thing. For 2020.
What, owning?
It was ownership.
Yo, that's
ownership.
It.
But not just owning business, literally, like you said, not just owning companies, but like owning where I'm at in my career, owning my greatness at the highest level, owning my calling, owning, you know, the space that I see myself, because that can be intimidating to some people, right? And even at times in my own journey, it was like, wow, is this really, like, I'm really one of those people that I was inspired by growing up. Like, I'm one of those people for a whole generation of people. Like, what I've done and continuing to create and will create is ultimately going to be at the level of all these people that I've worked with, all these people who inspired me, but it's mine. It's going to be in my own way in this respect. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that. That's crazy when you think about where you come from and what you had to overcome and like everything, the path you took, right? When my path has always been unconventional too. So it's just like when you stay on that course, the road less traveled, and then you get to that place, it can just feel like, wow, is this really what's going to happen? You know, but then when you accept it and you look at it, yeah, that's how you feel. You're like, ownership. You got to own it. Like, whatever you want in this life, you got to own it. You know, that's being a father, too. You got to own it. Like, being a parent is a choice. So you got to make that choice, and you got to own it and, you know, make that a part of everything else. Like, everything else you're creating in your life at the highest level, your child, that relationship should fit right in there. And everything should just be blessed and dope at the highest level. You know? Yeah. So ownership was my word for 2020, and it's been coming to life.
It's incredible, because ownership is something that, you know, I might not use the word every single day with my kids, but yeah, the actions that I perform and everything that I do always leads back to, how can you have ownership over this? Like, I even with my oldest, like, you know, my oldest is at that stage where he wants to help his friends, right? And my oldest is a brainiac, and he got caught in school sharing his work, right? And when they call me, they go, "Yo, your son and four other kids were plagiarizing." Right away, I knew that it wasn't him plagiarizing. I already knew the situation. And when he came home, that was the first thing I had to tell him, which was, "Yo, that was cool. You help your friends, but you got to take ownership over the good work that you did and not be passing this along." You know what I mean? Right. And he was confused. He was like, "Yo, I thought you wanted me to help my friends." And I was like, "Yes, you do. But you also have to take pride in the work that you did. And if your friends really care about you and they love you, they won't put you in a position to fail like that."
No, they're not.
You know what I mean? Right. And it takes a while to learn. And he's every day he's learning ownership over everything, ownership over everything. And it's like, dude, that's all I could do as a father. I can't push him. I can't handcuff him and tell him, "Yo, this is what you're going to do." But every day I could lead by example and remind him that, yo, you know, in our family, ownership is a big thing, man. We came from nothing. You know what I mean?
And then, we did. And I think we don't realize, but we did end it on this one, everybody. I know we ran over time a little bit, but one thing I don't know if we teach enough is how easy ownership is. Like, I was just tweeting about this the other day. The money you spend on a weekend or on your new sneakers or when you go out or whatever, you could take that same money and build your business, like legitimize your ideas, bring it to life. Now you own an asset 100% of something that could make sure, you know, you never have a cap on your earning potential or anything. And all you got to do, I had a dope conversation with Tristan Walker, and he was explaining how really sustainability is more important than scalability. Like, there's people who have bed and breakfast that never go out of business. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and then there's people who build these huge companies that fail after a year. It's like, all you have to do is build a model that's sustainable, that can keep you generating revenue. And, you know, creating one is one thing, but you have the ability to create as many as you want, like, or to acquire as many as you want. We also don't talk enough about acquiring assets through exchange of value. We usually talk about it through acquiring through capital, right? Like,
yeah,
venture funds and all that. But, like, there's even ways that you can come in to a company that's already profitable and become an equity partner in it by adding value that would only help their company be more sustainable or more scalable. It's like, but getting in the ownership game, if you know your value and you operate in a certain space, like, more of us should be getting into it. And it's not as intimidating as I think people still look at it as, you know what I'm saying?
No, it's a fact. It's a fact, because nobody taught us this.
We have to do more. Right. I mean, I wasn't taught it either. It took time. It took studying and learning as I grew up. Right. But, you know, that's our job as the ones who know.
Well, I think
pass it down.
I think, but that's how you're going to get your kids paid, right? And it starts with the foundation that we're given. And I think this is something that I've spoken about like on almost every podcast with a guest, where it's like the foundation that you lay now for them, you want them to supersede it, right? And then that's when the changes really start happening. Like, you're going to give them the norm. Like, we're going to give them a baseline because we care. Now it's up to us to push them to supersede that baseline. And now take that foundation to the next level. It's almost like you're building a house. We got you the foundation. Now you're going to build us the first floor, the second floor, the third floor. You know what I mean? And that's how we get them paid, where it's like I said earlier, you take away some of the other issues that we had to deal with as youngsters, so like that they can move forward. You know, my son won't have to do the things I did, you know?
Yeah, I feel like from your background, my background, something me and my brother talk about all the time is like, you know, you got to be proud of yourself for already breaking that, like already getting to a point where you've created a life for your children where they don't have the same struggles that you had, right? Like, they aren't worrying about the same things or thinking about the same things you had to think about when you were a kid growing up. You know what I'm saying? And that's part of the first step is like putting them down a path of a reality that they don't have to deal with the same traumas and stuff like that. Like, I wouldn't want every kid to have to experience rock bottom in order to like live a prosperous life. 'Cause it's a lot of pain. It's a lot you have to actually endure and persevere through to get to this place. So,
yeah, I mean,
be like that every kid for every person.
I forgot who said it. I think it was actually a rapper who said, you know, like when it comes to their kids, when we were being raised, we were being raised to learn how to survive, right? Where now we're teaching our kids we're raising our kids to be kids, where it's like, yo, you actually get to enjoy your childhood. My childhood was cut short at like 10 or 11. You know what I mean? And it's like, now we were raised to survive. They're raised to actually enjoy it. You know what I mean? And it's a wonderful feeling, man. It's a wonderful feeling. So, Mitch, man, how do people get in contact with you, man?
Yeah, I'm active on Twitter. You can hit me at All Things Mitch. The same thing on Instagram, at All Things Mitch. You can check out IQ-Labs.co, IQ-Labs.co. You can check out the company, shoot us a note, get any updates. That is how you can find me.
Damn, that's dope, man. Well, Julian, you killed it. And I know this will give dads a few ideas on how they can inspire their kids to be great and get paid by being themselves. Thank you once again for your time and gems, bro. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, and to the community, you know how we do, man. Don't be a sucker. Don't just show up. Make your presence felt and remind your kids that they could do anything and everything they want to do in life as long as they believe
presence
in themselves.
Presence.
That's right. Facts. Because support, they'll always get that from us. But now it's up to them to go take it to the next level. Fatherhood is lit.